and our ushers will be coming down the aisle. And if you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. I'll make sure everybody's got a Bible. And if you just forgot your Bible this morning and just need it for today, you can just set it back on the table on the way out. Go ahead and just lift up your hand as they're bringing down the Bibles this morning. And we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 a little bit later. That's actually where we're going to end this morning. I'll have the rest of the messages up on the screen. Those of you that are wondering, usually first Sunday of the month, we usually observe communion. We're going to do that next Sunday, so it's going to be an awesome week. We're going to have baptism and communion next Sunday morning, so we knew things were going to go a little bit longer today with our special guests, and so we're going to preach this message and have a song and be ready to go. We're just so glad that you're here today and thankful for the blessing of being here. So the ushers are going to come back down now. Ushers, go ahead and come on back up the aisle. Grab those baskets. And you get something really cool in church. They're going to pass out the offering baskets again. This time, you're going to take something out of the basket. So go ahead and come on up. Go ahead and come on up. And Bruce, let me go ahead and grab the first one here. So we're gonna hand out these M&Ms, okay, to everybody this morning, okay. And those of you that were here last week know exactly what this is about. And those of you that weren't here last week don't have any idea what I'm talking about, okay, with this. So everybody grab a peanut M&M and feel free to open it here during the service. That's perfectly fine. We're in a cafeteria after all, so that's not a problem. If you are allergic to peanuts in any way, we don't want to call the ambulance, although we're grateful to have a lot of nursing staff in our church. But we do have some regular plain chocolate ones there in the back. So if you want to grab a plain chocolate one, you can get up right now and grab one of those, or you can exchange it on the way out. We want to make sure everybody's got their M&M. So last week, go ahead and hit the next slide for me, Cody. You guys are doing a great job back there. Thank you so very much. So last week, remember all the M&Ms you have belong to God, okay? All the M&Ms you have belong to God. Everything that we have it belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. Don't covet, but instead be thankful for the M&Ms God has given you. We have so many blessings. There's so many things in life to be grateful for. Be thankful for what God has given you. And then realize that God will ask you to give an account of what you did with the M&Ms that He gave you. Okay? So we used this last weekend. This was our closing illustration. But it was really cool for me to have the bag, single bag up here. So I thought, let's have a little fun this morning and give everybody a bag of M&Ms. And you can enjoy that during the service this morning. If you missed last week's message, I really want to encourage you. They're always on the website. They're always there. We don't talk about it a lot. But I really want to encourage you, particularly with this series, because a lot of what we said last week, if you don't have kind of that context and framework, and we're going to talk this message about giving and tithing and like, wow, that seems like it's kind of really over the top. It's all in conjunction with what we talked about last week. There's four messages in this series, and I really want to encourage you, if you missed last week, to check that one out, because that'll give you some great foundation. Because today our focus is on giving. It's a tough subject, but it's my prayer that we'll handle it, tackle it with truth and with grace. Now, let me just say this right up front. God does not care about your money. God does not care about your money. God's got all the money in the world. He doesn't care about yours. You know what God does care about? Your heart. God cares about your heart. And what does the Bible teach? Where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart will be where your treasure is. And sadly, in our culture, in our society, so much of our treasure is wrapped up in right here that we lose sight of the fact that God is after our heart. So to deal with the various issues of life and not talk about financial matters misses so much of how we are wired and plugged into life. So much of life revolves around our financial state, our financial picture, so we need to address it. We need to talk about it. And I believe that the church needs to be much bolder in how we talk about these things, because it does affect so many parts of life. So let's go ahead and pray. Let's ask God to bless our time, and let's see what the scripture says this morning. Father God, thank you so much already. What a blessing, wonderful day it's been in your house, and we're grateful for these students that are with us today. We thank you for all these children. I thank you for each one that's walked through the doors today. Bless these moments we have this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here's a brick, okay? Here's a brick. Money is like a brick. Money is like a brick. There's nothing right or wrong necessarily in a brick. In fact, a brick can be used for wonderful, wonderful things. We've had a few groups the last couple of weeks from our community, Faith Christian and also the Yuba Sutter group. I went down to Mexico and did a lot of building and did a lot of construction, and I'm sure there were a lot of bricks involved. Our group is going to be going down in June, back down to Ensenada, Mexico, to be with Pastor Ray and Lupita and Alpha and Omega Church. And we've got some building projects, and bricks are going to be a wonderful, wonderful tool in helping develop and grow the ministries that God would have down there, okay? So brick can be very good. Now, you take the same brick that could be used to build up something and throw it through my window, we're going to have an issue. We're going to have a problem. Why? Because that's so not cool for you to do that, okay? So there's nothing right or wrong about the brick. It's how we use it, okay? So check it out. So the money you got in your pocket, what's on your debit card, all those things, there's no rightness or wrongness. How are you using those things? So next week, everybody gets a brick instead of M&Ms. No, I don't think we're going to do that next week. Hopefully you get that point, okay? So one of the things that helps us to wisely deal with, to make wise choices about our money is the order in which we do things with our money. So check out this next slide. So what most people do, okay, just typical, okay, we earn, we spend, oh, not the next one, go back. We earn, we spend, we repay debt, we save or invest, and then we give. That's the order. We get our paychecks, and we spend our paychecks, right? We've got debt, credit cards, medical bills. We try to get those paid down. If we save, and if we have anything left, we'll give something to the church, to charity, nonprofits, things of that nature, okay? What does God bless? The next, there you go. This is what God blesses. Earn, give, save, spend, repay debt, and then look at this last one. Enjoy. The title of this series is Financial Peace in a Stress-Filled World. What is one of the things that robs us so much of our joy? Our bottom line, our bank account. And we are stressed, and we are concerned, and we are anxious. Could it be because we're doing what most people do and not what God blesses? If we get that order right, or if we get that order wrong, it's going to determine so much about where we are moving forward. So let me give you four quick things this morning. You've got an outline in your bulletin. You want to follow along with us today. And a lot of scripture references. We'll have them up on the screen. I want to encourage you to take a look at them later. And as always, if you've got questions, comments, things that you're unsure about or would like further clarification, please come talk to me. Facebook, email, stop in the ministry center. We'd love to talk to you. So earning income, number one. So earning income. Okay, what are some different ideas as it relates to earning income? Well, the first thing I would talk about is the pillow mentality, okay? The pillow mentality. The Bible talks about this pillow mentality in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So our work ethic, you know, are we lazy? Do we have that pillow mentality? Like we're just kind of sit back and I'm going to let mom and dad take care of the bills. I'm going to let the government take care of the bills. I'm just going to kind of enjoy life and do what I want to do and not really be engaged. That's the NIV. Check out the message paraphrase. Hit the next slide there. Look, I love this one. Sloth makes you poor. Diligence brings wealth. Make hay while the sun shines. That's smart. Go fishing during harvest. That's stupid. Okay? And that is so true. That is so true. What is our mentality when it comes to, you know, man, get off the couch, go find some work? Attitude, a lot of times in our world, our culture today, you know, attitudes sometimes affect, you know, well, that job is just beneath me. You know, I can't go out to that job. That's just going to be not, you know, for me. I remember, some of you have heard the story. You know, 3 years ago, what was I doing? You know, stocking toilet paper and laundry detergent at Walmart overnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, while all of you guys were sleeping, most of you were sleeping, I was at the Walmart, and man, I'm telling you, I'm 40 years old. I'm stocking toilet paper and laundry detergent, you know, at Walmart. And God taught me just so many lessons about work ethic and pride and humility. Let's not have a pillow mentality when it comes to earning income. Okay, number two, there's an earning addiction. A lot of us have this. Matthew 16, 26, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Addicted to earning money. It doesn't seem to matter that their marriage is about to crumble. They've alienated their kids. They're working toward a heart attack. Never have time for church. On their way to spiritual destruction, they need their fix of stuff. PG, I just need more. I need more stuff. And I'm addicted to getting ahead, addicted to advancing. Check this out. As I told you, I've been getting some help and some coaching from someone and helping me develop this series. And it said something really profound. You know, we think all the times about, you know, man, like, I need that promotion. I need that bigger. Have you ever stopped and asked, does God want you to have that promotion? Does God want you to have it? You know, if you get that promotion, does it mean you're going to see your kids a whole lot less? Okay, if you gain the whole world, if you had forfeit your soul, what good does it do? If we gain all this stuff to ourselves because we're so addicted to the fix of earning more and more and more. Okay? The last one I would share with you is just simply the Colossians approach. Okay? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Highlight that, underline that. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Whether it's at home, as a student, for your employer, you work hard as unto the Lord. Now, some of you take that verse and have looked at that verse, and we're not sharing anything new necessarily today. You say, okay, I get this. This is the whole process where I go into work tomorrow morning and I pretend that God is really my boss. No, God is your boss. It's not about pretending that God is your boss. God is your boss. Now, his name, you know, there may be a different name up in the top left-hand corner of the check, but God is your boss. And I'm telling you, when we work as unto the Lord and not unto men, that is going to change our entire outlook when it comes to earning income. Because it's no longer about me and the things that I'm enjoying and the things that I'm getting stuff. It's about, hey, this is an outlet for me to serve my God, Christ Jesus, the Lord Christ I am serving. So I want you to really think about that as you go into work tomorrow. This is who I'm serving. A Colossians approach, okay? So the last half of the message here deals with allocating income, okay? That's the second thing, okay? Allocating income. And this isn't rocket science. This is just some great tools and some great things to think about. The 10-10-80 plan, okay? 10%, that goes to God. 10%, put that away for savings or investment. 80%, everything else. I've been trying to beat this into my son. You know, he's getting ready to leave for the Marine Corps and getting ready to start his own life and going to be opening, you know, a bank account and start getting checks and, oh, please, 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 you know, you young people. I mean, man, develop this in your life. I wish I'd done that. I didn't. I don't stand before you, you know, like, PG, he's like Yuba City's version of Dave Ramsey. Wow, check that out. No, I don't come before you like this huge success story of how I've done this. I can tell you, though, Jim was talking about this. I would love the zeal and the wisdom thing. I'd love to go back, brother. I would love to go back. In a lot of ways, and this is one of them. I'd love to go back, and this is how I'm going to do my finances, and this is how I'm going to teach my kids, because I want to make sure that these things are happening in my life. Man called the church and asked if he could speak to the head hog at the trough. Secretary replied, sir, if you mean the pastor, you'll have to treat him with more respect and ask for the reverend or the senior pastor. But certainly under no circumstances can you refer to him as the hog. Well, I was thinking of donating $25,000 to the building fund, and the secretary interrupted, said, hold the line, please. I think the big fat pig just walked through the door. Hang on a second. Look, I hope that, you know, as we talk about these, you know, these financial matters, it's not about the money, it's about our hearts. And I hope that, you know, you'll know, and if you don't know, this is my heart. It's not for self-serving reason. We're going to get this a little bit later. This is not about the budget. This is about your personal adventure with God. And if we do not get a handle on this issue, it's going to affect so many other things in our life. So what is tithing? Tithing is returning the first 10% to God. Returning the first 10% to God. Now, it's interesting, as I was studying this and talking to colleagues about it, we talk about giving the offering. And that's okay. I'm not beating us up. And we develop a certain language in church, and I get that. And we're always, especially as a church plant, trying to be, you know, reaching people that are lost and unchurched. We try to not use as much church jargon as we can. So I'm not beating us up to say, you know, well, we shouldn't say giving. But this is really this is a much better way to describe it. We're not really giving God anything. We're returning to him the first fruits of what he's blessed us with. That's really what it is. It's a returning. It's a returning to God. So we come into the storehouse. We come into the place. We come into that. We come in with that mindset that says, God, you have blessed me with this, and I'm returning to you that 10% for God. Capitalism, what's mine is mine. Communism, what's yours is mine. Christianity, what's mine is God's. And that's something that we always have to be remembering. Remember what we talked about last week. What I think is my own is really just a loan. It all belongs to God. And I'm returning that back. In fact, if you loan something to someone and they don't return what do we call that? Called stealing. Oh, now you're meddling, Pastor. You know, we don't get into that. No, check it out. That's what it is, right? It's called stealing. The Bible calls that stealing. So allocating our income. Two components to our giving or this returning. Our attitude and the amount. Okay, the attitude and the amount. Okay, if we've got a bad attitude, if we have a bad attitude about giving, if we have a bad attitude about returning this to God, quite frankly, friends, it doesn't matter what you put in the basket. It doesn't matter, because he's not looking for the dollars, he's looking for your heart. And the amount can be, you know, you can have the best attitude, but if you're just throwing in a buck, God's not impressed with that either. Because it's both. It's the attitude is important, and the amount is important, okay? Now, let me demonstrate this in a real kind of tangible way. Is there anybody in here that is ever, or maybe currently working as, and I'm not going to embarrass you, not going to bring up on stage, but a waiter or a waitress? Anybody ever served as waiter? Okay, Christine. Okay, I'll use Christine there in the back. Okay, so you've worked as a waitress before. Okay, so you're working in the restaurant, and I come in with my wife, and we get a couple pieces of pie and some coffee, and you know, spend a little bit of time together. The bill comes to $16, okay? And we leave you a $10 tip. Are you stoked about that? Yeah, you're totally stoked about that. Like, wow, $10 tip on a $16 bill, okay? Now, let's say, you know, I come back the next week, and that was kind of afternoon, not very busy. I come back the next week on a Friday night. I bring all the staff, I bring all their wives, I bring all their kids, I bring the advisory team members. We've got an entourage, man. We're taking over the place. We got like 30, 40 people there. Bill comes up to like $600 for all of us, and I leave you a $10 tip. Are you excited about that? No way. Why? Because the amount matters, and the percentages is what we do that, right? And there's even apps on our phones, you know, because I'm not great at math. I'm like, okay, what's 15%? And let me just, Christians, tip good, okay? That was free, okay? But tip good, okay? That it's just important. Be a good testimony in that regard. But, you know, I'm calculating, okay, what's 15%, and what should I do? What should I leave this person? We're used to that idea of percentages. The same thing happens with God. 10%. Return that 10% back to God, okay? Because that's going to be different for everybody, okay? I give it a certain amount because my 10% is different from Caleb's 10%. Okay, Caleb works at the Cinemark, works 5 to 10 hours a week or so, you know, not supporting a wife, not supporting family, doesn't have all these other obligations stuff. He doesn't make the same amount of money that I do. So if Caleb and I give the same amount in the offering, there's a real serious problem. Either I'm being really chintzy or he's like being off the charts, man. I should go work at the Cinemark. But what's the deal there? It's about the percentage, okay? So you've got a babysitting job, and you get $20 from that babysitting job. 10% of that is how much? What is that? You know, okay, $2. Okay, you've got a part-time job. You make about $1,000 a month. How much of that do you return to God? How much? $100. Okay. How about you've got a $100K job, $100,000 a year? How much of that comes is your return back to God? What's 10%? $10,000. $10,000. Pastor friend was telling me about a story, and I don't have a story near like this. He was telling me a story about how in his young, kind of brash, zealous years, he had this conversation with this guy, and he's like, man, I would have handled that way differently way differently with a few years of seasoning under my belt. The closest story I could come up with was I was pastoring, I was in my 20s, and the chairman of our board had been getting complaints about the services running a little bit too long. We weren't able to get to the restaurants, you know, before the other Baptist church got out. And I said, brother, the service starts at 10 o'clock and it ends when the Holy Spirit says it ends. Which was a great answer, but I probably didn't deal with, I didn't probably give it as much deft as I should have, you know, as a 20-year-old. But his story was, he met this guy, he was talking to this guy, and he's like, Pastor, I get what you're saying, I understand, but you don't understand, I make a lot of money. Between my wife and I's income, we're well over $100,000, and if I have to give 10% of that back to God, I'm going to be missing a huge chunk of income that I'm used to having in my life. He said, would you pray about this with me so that I would just have wisdom and discernment? And the pastor said, yes. They were in Target. He said, I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, dear God, please help my brother make less so that he can give to you. I thought, wow, there's an interesting approach. But check it out. You know, the more we make, and we think, it's just a percentage. The babysitter who gives $2 in the offering and the guy making 100K who gives 10,000, that's the same. That's the same because it's a percentage. Say, PG, if I start tithing, that would mean I'd have to change how I spend my money. I'd have to change my priorities. I'd have to change how I organize my life. I'd have to change what's important. Yes, exactly. Because it's not just about finances. It's the health of our soul. And our job, my job, okay, I'm your pastor. I'm your shepherd. I'm your coach. I love you. I love all of you. And I want God's best, absolute best for your life. It's not about the budget. I want God's best for your life. And it cannot be there if we say, God, you've got all this stuff, but this is mine. It doesn't work that way, friends. It just doesn't work that way. So why should we give? Why should we give? Number one, it stretches and builds my faith. It stretches and builds my faith. We're familiar with these verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Yeah, amen, right? Preach it. Man, trust God with everything. I'm going to trust him with all my future. I'm going to trust him with my kids. I'm going to trust him with all. What does it go on to say? Check out the context. Just a couple more verses down. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. There is nothing that will stretch and build your faith than by regularly giving to God's work and tithing. It will stretch, it will build your faith. When I was in college, I was poor as a church mouse. I didn't have anything. I worked a couple different jobs to get through school. I didn't come from money. I'd work and scrape and all these different things. And so when I got money, I needed that money. I needed it for stuff that I needed. And every once in a while in our chapel services, we would have a special offering for something that would come up. And I remember like God is wanting me to give this in the offering, but I know I'm going to need this money, you know, later on. And I gave it. I just gave it to God. I said, okay, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to give it. That same day, $50 in my mailbox. $50 in my mailbox from school. Now, some of you are saying, dude, you'd have had $70. What were you thinking? Okay. Some of you are saying, totally a coincidence, right? Because that person would have had to mail that, you know, letter like 3, 4, 5 days before. It was already on the way. God knew, hey, God works that way. God absolutely works that way. And that was such a, what do you think that did to my faith? As a, you know, 18, 19-year-old college student. You guys have lived this. You've walked this. You've got faith stories like, whoa, God, like you totally showed up. And I don't even know how to process that. But it builds and strengthens our faith. Talking about this subject, it's difficult. It's not about the budget. It's about where is our treasure. There's a bumper sticker that said, tithe if you love Jesus. Tithe if you love Jesus. But check this out, because there's some truth in that, but I don't really think it's about love. I mean, I believe that 99% of you are here because you love God. It's not a question of love, it's do you trust him? Do you trust him? I love you, Lord. But do we trust him? Do we trust him? Nothing will stretch and build your faith more than giving and tithing. Think about accepting Jesus as your Savior. I was a six-year-old boy. Trust Jesus came and died on the cross for you. If you accept him, you go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. That was easy. Where's the easy button? That was easy. Man, I want to go to heaven someday. Tithing, giving? That's hard. So I don't want to in any way appear like cavalier and like, oh, no sweat, man, no problem. No, it may be hard. Especially if you haven't done it, if you haven't developed that spiritual discipline, it may be one of the hardest things you ever do in your life. But I'm here to tell you, it will build and stretch your faith like nothing else will. Think about it, okay? Number two, it's a practical way to love and give thanks to God. Practical way to love and give thanks to God. 2 Corinthians 9, 12, and 15. This service, offering that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's a practical way to show our love and our expression. Do you love getting stuff from your kids? You know, you get, you know, how many, you know, say, yeah, I've got like five, you know, dad is number one, you know, foam mug things that I put a can of soda in, you know, or you've got like the funny, when I was growing up, we had the Santa store. You know, we had the Santa store and we'd go and pick up a little trinket and you know, they were terrible gifts. They were awful, you know, but my mom always loved those gifts. There's something about receiving a gift from your children with your own money, incidentally. I mean, go figure that one out. We talked about that a little bit last week, you know. But because it's from them and they picked it out, oh, it's such a blessing to your heart. So I got, a couple years ago, I had this Father's Day card. It says, on Father's Day, you don't have to travel to a galaxy far, far away to relax and have a good time. And then you open it up. Can you hear that? So it says, you have your own band of misfits and scoundrels right here. And this is like my little Star Wars Father's Day card. And, you know, it's got the little cantina band inside. And I leave that on my dresser. And you have stuff on your mantle. You have stuff, you know, maybe in a drawer. You have stuff in your house that was given you by your kids. And you love that stuff. Why? Because it was given to you in love. And it's a way that we can express, a practical way to love and give thanks to God. Number three, it helps build God's kingdom. It helps build God's kingdom. Between those two verses, we see these. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God. Others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. That'll preach, man. I'm here to tell you. There's a lot there in those verses. Make sure you jot those verses down and take a look at them again. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God. It will build God's kingdom. There was a pastor who was visiting at a country church, and the ushers, you know, came to take the offering, and they came and they took the offering just like we did just a couple minutes ago. And then there was just kind of some awkward silence. There wasn't a lot going on. And the visiting pastor turned to the pastor like, you know, what's going on? You know, is there something? Am I supposed to be doing something? Is something else supposed to be going on? I said, just wait. A couple minutes went by, and the ushers came back, and they started taking the offering again. And he was like, you know, what's going on with the offering? Is there something? He goes, no, what we do here at this church is the ushers, they go back, and if there's not enough in the offering for the budget, they go back through and they take the offering again. And we just keep taking the offering until we have enough. They count. I was like, wow, that's like seriously hardcore, okay? Look, we're not ever going to do that, and I hope we don't ever become one of those churches where it's all about the budget and it's all about the money. But the reality is this. So we don't want to be a couple things. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to be obnoxious, you know, when it comes to money and financial matters. But we also don't want to be naive, okay? And that's the flip side of that coin. The reality is, the more resources we have, the more we can do for God's kingdom. That's just the reality that we face. And so we want to be able to do as much ministry as we possibly can to further God's work. In 2 Corinthians 9, Paul says that one day people will pray and praise God for you because as a result of your obedience and giving, someone giving them a Bible, a youth ministry, a missionary starting a ministry, they will give God thanks for you. The ministry is built. The kingdom of God is expanded because of your gifts. I was asked this question this week, and I'm asked this question probably once or more a week. Pastor Greg, when are we going to get a building? When are we going to get a building? We love, you know, being here, and there's a certain vibe about, you know, that. But portable church can be difficult. It strains us. It stretches us. Okay, when are we going to get a building? As soon as God provides the resources. And you know how God provides the resources? Through us. That's how he provides the resources. When I go down to the ministry center, I go down Garden Highway, I still drive by that building on Epley, right across from the Bridge Church. That's sitting vacant. It's been sitting vacant for over 3 years now. And we looked at that here about 6-8 months ago, and it's just, yeah, I got $8,000 for rent. Yeah, right here. Let me get out my platinum card, you know. Don't have $8,000 for rent. That's just the reality. That's just the reality. With more resources, there's more we can do. Where's Brian and Gina? I'm going to do that right now. It's going to be a really awkward time to do. Are they here in the service? Brian and Gina? Is Gina in here? Oh, she's got a little... So here's Brian and Gina. Okay, Brian and Gina Deal. They were with us last week, and they're... Well, don't applaud yet. You're not sure what I'm saying. No. Okay. Brian and Gina Deal have accepted the opportunity to come and serve with our church, with our youth, this summer for 13 weeks. Brian and Gina Deal. So they are our summer youth director and his wife right there. Now you can applaud. Yeah. So excited. Okay. Okay. We are stoked. The human side of things, they're here because we set out a vision called Adventure 2020, and we said as God through his people supplies into that vision, one of the things we want to do is we want to build our team. Okay? That's a direct result right there. So those of you that have given to that special, you know, campaign, praise God for that. There's a real life flesh and blood couple, family, Miranda, Nehemiah, Malachi, that are going to be joining our ministry this summer, moving to Yuba City here in just a couple of weeks to serve and minister with our teenagers. That's because God has provided through the resources that have come from this church. We don't have some, you know, like, hey, here's some money, we'll do that. You know, it's building God's kingdom, and that's what we want to be about. We want to be building God's kingdom, and those resources help us do that. And the last one, number four, it releases God's blessing. It releases God's blessing. And here's the Malachi 3 verse. You knew I was getting there, right? You knew I was getting to Malachi 3. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. There it is. There it is. It releases. Now, you know, I'm not going to pretend this morning to unpack all of what that means. We talked last week, you know, we don't buy into prosperity theology around here. You give God a dollar, he's going to give you 10 back. We're not quantifying what the blessing looks like. There's just two things here, okay? When I give, I am blessed. When I don't give, I am cursed. I don't know exactly what the blessing looks like. I don't know exactly what the cursing looks like, but I want to be over here, not over there. I want to be on the side of blessing. And when we give, when we tithe, when we return to God that which he's offered, what he's graciously provided us with, it releases God's blessing in my life. It could be finances, it could be career, it could be family, it could be health. I don't know what it means, but I do know what I want. And I want God's blessing in my life. And if we keep a tight hold over what God has blessed us with, it limits the ability he has to bless us. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Lastly, we're going to go through these really quick. How should I give? Okay, how should I give? 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7, read this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So how should we give? Five quick things. Thoughtfully, decided in his heart. Some of you need to go home and get out a calculator and figure out, and like, Pastor Greg, is it the gross income or is it the net income? I don't know. What is God telling you to do? That's my answer. I don't have this like, well, I don't have an answer to that because it's not about the amount. It's not just the amount. It's about your attitude about the amount, okay? You're going to need to talk to your spouse. Make a decision. Let me encourage you, husbands and wives. Some of you are going to walk out of here and you may be on different pages. Talk about this. Don't break up your marriage because PG taught on tithing one Sunday, okay? Get on the same page. Talk it through. Look at your finances. Look at your budget. Next week, it's spending and debt. We're going to get into some of that, okay? But thoughtfully, look, one of the reasons why we are not going to do an offering this morning, and it kind of goes under one coming up too, is I just didn't feel that was right. I didn't feel it was right to spring upon you like, oh, hey, by the way, you were really blessed by this group, so if you really love God, you're going to really give him the offering. It may have been a really sick offering, Jim, so sorry about that. But the truth is, I just didn't feel right. I didn't feel right about, like, you know, giving this sermon on tithing and giving. Like, okay, we're going to take an offering now. You know, where are you at? So that's why we did it earlier. Because we'd have done offerings at the end, but I just didn't feel it needs to be thoughtful. Give thoughtfully, okay? Number two, generously. Gave as much as able. Sows bountifully. Who sows bountifully. When you get a raise or you come into some money, you need to ask yourself, is God giving me this income to increase my standard of living or to increase my standard of giving? Why is God giving you those resources? When you study this, you discover that 10% is really the minimum. And I know there are several that give more than 10% because they have generous hearts. They have generous hearts. Enthusiastically, not reluctantly, the Bible says, but enthusiastically. Oh, it's offering time. Oh, man, here it comes. Again, attitude and amount, both of them. Let's be enthusiastic about our giving, not because we have less money, but because we're doing all these things we talked about before. It's stretching and building my faith. It's a practical way to love and give thanks to God. It's helping build God's kingdom. It's releasing God's blessing in my life. Woo! Let's do offering earlier in the service. I'm ready. I'm going to do it online before I even get to church because I'm so excited. Okay? We had the first church that we pastored in Illinois 20 years ago, there was a family that was moving. And until they found a church, they said, you know, until we find a church, we're so excited about what God is doing in your life and what God is doing in your ministry at that church, we're going to keep sending our tithe to your church until we can find a church of our own. I said, take your time. Take your time. Make sure you're thorough. Really pray about it, you know. Keep sending your tithe. No, I didn't do that. But they were so excited. They were so enthusiastic. They didn't even use the excuse of, well, I'm not really plugged in anywhere yet, so I'm just going to hold on to it until I do. They wanted to give to God's ministry. They wanted to use those funds that God had given. Voluntarily, not under pressure. Not under pressure. Listen, if you feel today, not under compulsion. If you feel today that I'm just turning the screws, then you know what? God says you don't have to give. There's your out right there. If God is telling you to give, you better give. But if it's just like, you know, Pastor Greg's just making me feel guilty and, you know, I'm being forced to give, I'm being made to give, don't give. Don't give. Because we don't want it to be under compulsion. However, if what is going on in your chest is conviction from the Holy Spirit, then let me encourage you to apply all that we've talked about today. And then cheerfully. So enthusiastically, cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Talking to a missionary who was telling the story. We saw a little bit of this in Mexico, in Ensenada. You know, they don't do the offering like we do the offering. They do the offering by, they all march up to the front. There's the big table in the front. There's a big bowl in the front. And they all come, they all walk in the front, and they put in their offering. And they don't use envelopes. So, like, everybody can see exactly what, because they're so happy to give. They're so excited about giving. They're so cheerful in their giving. And I thought, man, maybe we should try that at our church. No, we're not going to try that at our church because I like being the pastor here too much to do that. But there's a cheer, there's a joy in giving to God's work. God loves a cheerful giver. Let me close with this. Okay, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs and the iPhone. When the iPhone was in production, he was brought to it by his team, and this is in his biography. And those who have read the biography know he was kind of a difficult guy to work for. And they brought him a prototype, and he said, you know, this isn't any good. I want it to have glass. I want it to have glass on the front. You know, it just didn't feel good enough. You know, I want glass. They're like, Steve, there's no glass we can get that we can put on. He goes, I don't care what the excuse. I want glass on the front of this phone. That is going to be what makes the iPhone different from every other phone out there. So Steve Jobs, he goes back to his office. He calls the president of Dow Corning. And he says, hey, we got a problem with this phone we're working on. I want the front to be entirely glass. He goes, Steve, we can't do that. We can't do it. There's no glass that's possible. He goes, I don't want to hear that. You tell me. Give me some solutions because I need it in 6 months. We go into production in 6 months. He goes, well, we've got this thing called Gorilla Glass that we developed back in the 60s, but we have no way of really kind of mass producing it and make, you know, finding, you know, everyday solutions to use that kind of glass. He goes, send me everything you've got. My engineers are going to work with your engineers. I need it in 6 months. Okay? How many of you have an iPhone in your pocket today? Okay? And how many of you have, you know, probably a Droid phone that's got Gorilla Glass on the front? Okay? Just about every smartphone has that kind of technology in it. Impossible. Impossible. Needed it in 6 months. And impossible is a word that just shouldn't be in our dictionary. We're talking about this subject, and you're thinking, and I'm there with you. I am there with you. And we're like doing the math in our head, and we're like, I cannot do this. Pastor Greg, I love you. I love Adventure Church. I love God. I cannot do what you're asking me to do. I cannot do what I have learned about this morning. It is impossible. Every time you open your phone, every time you answer a text, maybe we'll give away iPhones next week. That would be cool. No, we're not going to do that either. I'd really be gone then. Every time you do that, I want you to remember it was impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So let me close with this, okay? To the regular givers, you're here, you give, you support our ministry, you support other ministries. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. I just want to be sure that in all of the dialogue that we have on these issues, it's that our gratitude and our appreciation comes through as loud as it possibly can come through. Thank you for your giving, not to Adventure Church, but through Adventure Church. You're giving to God through this ministry, okay? If you're here and that's not you, you just, for whatever reason, and there's no judgments here, I would encourage you to try it. I would encourage you to test him. That's what he said in Malachi. Try me. Test me and see what I do. Maybe take the summer. Say 10%, the first 10%, it's going back to God. And just see what he does. This is what I've learned in my own personal experience. And look, I'm the pastor. It's not always been easy for me. But this is what I've learned, that God can do more with my 90% than I can do with my 100%. I've learned it time and time and time again. When I try to, it's like, I really need that this week. I really need that this month. I always end up being short. And whenever I have the first fruits, I forgot to put it in, Keith, sorry. It's right here. When I put it in, that 90% always carries us through. We've got a motto in our family. Do you have a family motto? We have a family motto. We're mansers. We got to eat. That's our family motto, you know. We're doing it. God's taking care. Look at me. God is taking care of us. God takes care of us with 90%. With 90%. So I just encourage you, just test him. Try him. See what difference it might make in your life. See what difference it might make in the life of our church. And to the skeptics, one or two maybe here today, to the skeptic, like, this is just too good to be true, or this, I don't. Let me encourage you, go home and pray about it. Just go home and pray. That's all I'm asking you to do, is to go home and pray about it. And my counsel always is not, it's what is God asking you to do? Just answer that question. God, what do you want me to do with this issue? And then respond in kind. So, you know, I've given you some great things to think about this morning. I hope that you'll prayerfully consider those things. I hope that our goal for this entire day and praying this week and praying this morning is that two things would be exhibited this morning, truth and grace. Truth and grace. And I hope that's come through. I love you all. I love being the pastor of this church. I was at Bayside the last couple of days. Had just a fabulous time. It was marvelous. And I was like, man, Lincoln Brewster was just killing it. And I was like, I can't wait to get back and hear our band. Because our band is killing it every single week. I love what God is doing. And we're so excited. Amen. Amen. I'm so excited about the work that God is doing in our church. And I want to see him continue to do amazing things. And I want us to be the people that he's called us to be. Let's stand together. We're going to close in prayer. And we've gone late today. The Holy Spirit now just said we're done. So thank you for coming this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the time we've had together this morning. And I just pray your blessing upon this message. I pray your blessing upon this teaching. I pray your blessing upon each heart that has received this today, Lord. Difficult, hard things. This is not an easy thing. This is not just flip a switch and we're this way this day and this the other way the next day. Lord, may we prayerfully consider what your word has taught us this morning, and may it make a difference in our own personal lives, may it make a difference in our families, may it make a difference in our church, and Lord, may it make a difference for your kingdom. That's what we long for, dear God. So I pray that you would bless in each and every heart this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Don't leave. We're going to sing one last song. Any help you can give us packing up would be awesome today. Youth group tonight at 6 o'clock. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you later.
Send into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Oh, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, our sovereign power, our God, yes, our God.
And if our God is for us,
if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Then what can stand against? Stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, our summon power, our God,
amen. Man, have an awesome week and sing this song as you go on out. 2, 3, 4.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger.